Good morning again, my friends. This is David Stahl from Beholding His Glory, and yes, you are listening to Pebbles of Truth on WJCV Radio. Now, last week we ended looking at Matthew 16:25, where Jesus said, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life," now notice, "for my sake shall find it." Bottom line here is this, my friend. If we want to find the life of Christ, we will have to lose our life. Oh, let me say that again. If we want to find the life of Christ, we will have to lose our life. And to lose our life for Christ is probably not as much physical or a martyrdom, but for sure more Christians have been martyred in the last 30 years than in the last 250 years. Neither is it a dedication to ministry. Oh no, we can be physically martyred and dedicate ourselves to ministry and still not have Christ formed in us. Now, what we're talking about here really gets at the root of what makes a religious human being tick. Jesus is saying that we must lose the whole motivation of having our life our way. We must no longer own ourselves. We must no longer want to decide who we are and what we want to be. Yes, even our ambitions for God, yea, even our spiritual ambitions must be lost into the capable hands of Christ. Oh wow, I gotta say that again also. Even our spiritual ambitions must be lost into the capable hands of Jesus Christ. You know, it is an absolutely impossible for us to accomplish this work in ourselves. It takes the work of the cross, just as Jesus said. But God wants it even more than we do, my friend. Thus, there's going to come a time in our walk with Christ where we will face a crisis. Indeed, maybe a series of them. God then will begin to pull our lives away from His. Wow. He will begin to pull our lives away from us. It may seem as if everything is going wrong, or as you know, everything we thought was a blessing from God has been withdrawn. The place where we were living in Christ once no longer does. You know, it just doesn't work anymore. And we go, "What is happening?" Well, it may be that God has laid a cross in front of us, and if we want to find His life, we must pick it up, pick up that cross, and lose our life. Now, you will notice that I did not say that we must crucify ourselves. Oh no, that is impossible. Rather, God brings the cross, and we have a choice to pick it up in obedience or carry it or not. God Himself will then lead us to our Calvary. And if we pick up the cross, God will arrange for all things to work together for our good in the end. He will lead us to the spiritual places that will do the work in us that He desires. Now, last week I said that we must ask God to do whatsoever it takes for us to lose our lives so that we might have Christ formed in us. Well, the cross is precisely the correct tool on which we too can lose our lives. That Jesus had the courage and the love, but do we have the courage to pick up our cross? Not Jesus' cross, but our cross, and follow Christ into death. When we ask God to do whatsoever it takes for Christ to be formed in us, did we think that He was going to sort of zap us and presto change-o, and in the morning we wake up the next day with Christ fully formed in us? I think not. Rather, when we ask God to do whatsoever it takes, and if we really, really mean it, then we are taking the first steps with our cross on our back. My friend, to know God and have Christ formed in us, our self-life must die before we can have the true life of Christ. At the same measure our self-life is put to death, at that same measure we will have Christ formed in us, no more, no less. Now, most folks, you know, they do not like to hear this message. Maybe that's why most folks No, not God, and is religious and lost. And oddly, you know, there's even some pastors and teachers, they preach and you know, they teach, making the cross a woe as me message kind of Christianity. There are even preachers and teachers, even evangelists, who actually take pride in and get a lot of mileage out of carrying their cross. But I have to tell you that that is, if carrying our cross produces in us a pride in the fact that we are doing so and turns us into a self-created martyr, then I do not know what cross they are carrying, because it is not, repeat, not the one that God, you know, puts in front of us. For the cross of Christ that God wants us to carry will never create someone who thinks that they are special or an elite person. Oh no. It will never result in a sense of superiority. Rather, the real cross of Christ, now listen, will put to death all of these self-serving motives, you know, motivations, and open us up to what it really means to lose our life for the sake of Christ. But as I have said, this is unknown territory for most in the church today. We are so used to using even the things of God, even our own suffering, as a tool to make ourselves into someone special. You know, I cannot believe the lust for titles. You know, everyone seems to be a doctor or a prophet or an apostle. Yesterday I saw where some lady is a chief apostle. And I thought, is there a chiefest of apostles? Wow. Oh no, my friend. How foolish. Jesus took the name when he referred to himself in the scriptures as Son of Man. Not the Son of God or the Messiah, which he is, but the Son of Man. Birds have nests and foxes have holes, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. This is all big city black and white religion, my friend. These churches ought to be ashamed of themselves, but oh no, they are not. The leaders ought to know better, but oh no, they do not. No. And why? Because they do not care. Because they use their titles. They use their titles, their self-imposed spiritual titles, over the people. And the people are like sheep, willfully led into deception. And boy, do the leaders of these ungodly, unspiritual churches fleece their flock. Oh, yes, they do. Shame on them. I speak Ichabod to them. You know, there's another reason why these self-imposed, title-hungry, ungodly leaders fleece their flock. And that is, they think that if they do not emerge from their walk with the Lord as someone special, well, then they are just a common Christian, and they cannot take advantage and manipulate their church if they seem to be common and, you know, or, you know, that's terrible. You know, we visited a church in Jacksonville, North Carolina, where they would pound the apostle. People would run up there and give the apostle money. How ungodly. You know, I find that black churches are the worst, but white churches are just as bad and just as evil. And why? Well, these churches are absolutely bound and blind by the destructive self-love in them. That no death to self, glamour and glitz, self-strutting itself on stage, dressed to the nines, or dressed up with some silly, you know, religious clothing with white collars and, you know, military style looking clothes, different colored shirts to, you know, to mark their, you know, their title. That is why our self-love, our flesh must die. Now open up your spirit here, my friend. The outcome of the true cross of Christ in our lives is never someone who lacks self-love, but never is it someone who wallows in self-love. Wow. The outcome is not high self-esteem or low self-esteem. Oh no, rather, the outcome is that we will lose all of both extremes and be delivered from the government of self completely. When Jesus said that we must lose our lives, he was not demanding that we lose something we think that is of great value. Oh no. Nor was he demanding that we sacrifice for God. Oh no. He was talking about being delivered from our self-life, so that we can have Christ formed in us. My friend, unless we allow God to kill our self-love, we will never, ever be able to have Christ formed in us. This has been David Stahl from Beholding His Glory. More next week as we share on forming of Christ within. Amen.